Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Nick Monk. How are you, Nick?
I'm very well, thanks, Chris.
Excellent. We're going to be talking to you about wine labels. Crazy topic, but something of interest.
Absolutely.
And what's your company called?
It's Multilabels, and we're a family-based self-adhesive label company.
That sounds family-based self-adhesive labeling company. What was it like? You got home and like someone's had a bad day at the office and there's just labels plastered everywhere.
That's absolutely. I work with my wife, so we talk about it all day long, unfortunately.
Oh, really? Yeah. So what, when you want something, missing something from the supermarket, you know, create a list, just put a label up.
I can't help myself but look at labels as soon as I'm around the supermarket.
Yeah. Really?
Very sad existence, I'm afraid, Chris.
I'm a bit like that with wine bottles, actually. What I'm hoping to get out of today is an understanding of labels and also a wee bit about what the label can tell you about the wine or possibly the manufacturing process. But in general, there's people often think of labels as a front label and a back label. But to you, is it the same thing or?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, labeling's an absolutely essential part of the sales point for a wine bottle, if you think about it. Unless you're buying a wine label that is a repeat buy, a brand that you might know and like. But most times and most labels or wine bottles are bought based on the actual appearance of the label. So it is very, very important in that, you know, closure, if you like. And the design, the way we process that is really important. And the texture of the label tells a story, maybe of what the brand's trying to get across.
Yeah, I suppose there was a big move to have critters on the labels maybe 10, 15 years ago. You know, lots of kangaroos and all that sort of stuff. Is that still quite popular? Because you guys do design of labels.
We do design the labels, yeah. We either can design it ourselves, which mainly is through the smaller brand houses that want us either to make some amendments or do the full design, or we can take actual brands' designs and interpret them and advise on different styles and techniques to get the best appearance across or the message across that that brand's looking to achieve. But in reference to critters and things, there generally was a drive towards that for the New World wines, I think, probably at the time. And now more about that's well established. It's about the actual message and story from the vineyards themselves.
So has there been an evolution in, because you've been in the business about 10 years.
Yeah.
And has there been an evolution in sort of what people are looking for on their label?
Designs get more sophisticated as people, you know, move the goalposts, so to speak. Self-adhesive that we're actually printing has a lot more scope than traditional wet glue, which are fairly standard, you know, square or rectangular labels with just a different, you know, picture on it. Whereas we're able to deliver different shapes, you know, one or two labels on the front or three labels, you know, parts of it can be clear, parts of it can be white, you know, to really get that interest across and, you know, that actual point of sale, the point where the consumer's going to pick that bottle up. As soon as they pick that bottle up, it's rare that they put it back down on the shelf.
I actually purchased a case of natural wines last week after talking to a guy who flogs natural wines. And one of the labels surprised me. What looks like a front label is just a beautiful picture. But all the legal requirements that are normally on the front label are on what looks like the back label. Which I think is a nice way of getting around having
Absolutely.
To put stuff on the front. Is that things you see, or is there any tricks that people do?
Yeah,
like that?
Very much so. The marketing is all led from the front label, so the story is told through that front label. And to try and get the information, maybe it's the story of the vineyard or the family or when they set up, is generally on the back label. So you have a smaller message on the front to really get that person to pick the bottle up. And then on the back, when they're turning it around, they're buying into that story. So that label's giving you a message and a story. That's very much a way to deliver these days.
Okay. A lot of people pick their wines on labels, but I actually want to drill into what the label can tell you about a wine. And you guys, you mentioned some quite technical words like self-adhesive and glue on the back and all that sort of stuff. What are the different types of labels that you'll see on bottles?
Well, traditionally, if we take wet glue, so to speak, wet glue will be
sounds like a kinky Saturday night.
Yes, something along those lines. But a wet glue label will be just a piece of paper, so to speak. It will be loaded into a machine where the glue is then applied to it and then it is stuck onto the bottle. Whereas our labels actually already have the glue on and they come on a backing and that's then dispensed onto the bottle. So you're reducing the amount of variables within that process. Also, we can choose different shapes, different styles. So it gives the designers a lot more scope.
So when someone's got a wet glue, you say, is it just normal paper they use wet glue? Or is
there are lots of different choices of sort of paper, whether it's a silver-based paper or quite an organic or quite a rustic paper, quality.
We'll get on to tape paper in a minute then. It sounds like it's going to be hard. The glued-on ones are the ones you soak the label off, and I've soaked a few labels off in my time, and you see the stripes on the back, is that right?
Yeah, you can see the stripes on there, and sometimes you can get that showing through into the brand, yeah. Into the actual front label, which, you know, is not a great look. Generally, the wet glue labels are printed litho, which is a very high-quality way of printing, but the self-adhesive gives that bit of extra scope, really. The choice of materials is generally much better. And we can print things on like screen printing and tactile printing, which has really taken a huge amount of preference now with different styles. So we can mix gloss and matte varnishes together, whereas you're quite limited with wet glue labels into what you can actually process.
I always think of sort of the more traditional wines bottles you see from France or something like that. They're the more the wet glue, aren't
very
they?
Very traditional labels, yeah. They've been doing it that way for many years, don't really want to change. And you'll surprise yourself sometimes with finding those labels, which are the standard ones with an outline of the chateau there, yeah, and just some one-colour text, for example, and a little bit of foil. But yet these bottles might be selling between 9 and 12 quid plus.
Yep.
So the real innovation labels you'll find that come in with a surprising price points. You know, 3 for £10, that's still about potentially, but I don't know how long that will stay for. But a lot of the innovation on the labels will be between £5 and £7, really. And you'll find a lot of different technology on that label, a real message.
So is there a difference in price? Is wet labels or glue-on labels better than other types of labels, or
not, yeah, necessarily.
How is there a volume basis?
You will find that, for example, with wet glue labels, the actual price per label is generally cheaper than self-adhesive labels because it's just one layer of paper, whereas we've got the paper, the glue, and the backing paper to deliver it.
Yep.
But you'll find that self-adhesive labels, potentially as a total cost, are more efficient to produce because there is no glue that you need to apply on there. You've got more design potential, and that's it. It's generally more efficient, or deemed to be more efficient, way of producing and processing labels.
If I'm looking for the cheapest label possible and I'm a small producer, what would I go for?
We could go for a standard size. We go for a potentially quite cheap, smooth material, commodity-based material. There may be some opportunity to thermally overprint your
What's
label
that?
So you have a vintage change, we can sell you a printer, so we can do a general print on your label. And for example, if you have a vintage change or a Sauvignon Blanc to go to a claret, for example, you can overprint that different message,
yep,
yourself on your printer, so you're in control and on demand, if you like.
Okay.
Then it elevates up to we can process the whole lot.
Okay, and what sort of volumes are we talking about here? I'm an English wine producer producing a couple of 100,000 bottles a year.
That's an interesting question. We produce some labels at the moment for Astley Vineyards, which are an English producer.
Yeah, I know them.
And, can be anywhere between sort of 5 and 10,000 over a couple of variants, maybe. So it's anywhere at that price point, and it's a premium wine, of course. I think it's very, very possible that we can do that for you. Anywhere up to sort of, one tanker load, which might be 36,000, to two tanks, 72,000, etc.
Astley Vineyards, are they using the sort of wet glue, or are they more into the sticky stuff?
It's a very subtle, it's quite technical design. It's a rectangle. It is on a premium material. We can add some foil if we needed to. In this case,
what's foil?
Foil is it's literally a gilt foil. So it's another material, and it just gives it that luster and that premium effect. And there are other additions that we can add. I mean, generally, with the English wines, they're selling a premium wine, a fairly high price point, that someone's making a conscious decision to buy an English wine. They're very good tasting wines, but they're making the conscious decision, I want to buy an English wine. I believe that we can really help, move on to compete on shelf. If you just looked on shelf, that you can compete in its actual design on its own merit.
What other fancy things can I do to my label? You mentioned foiling. Where is that, like a metallic?
Yeah, that's exactly a metallic foil, and that can come in a matte finish, a silk finish, or a high gloss finish.
Yep.
We can also screen print. We can screen print, which is like a raised print. So you'd find a lot on toiletries, hair products, but also to give that extra quality, that premium look.
And feel, and like Mentzendorf have a label that's got Braille on it.
That's right. That's screen printing.
Is that the dots?
Absolutely. So that's screen printing, which we do, and the Braille for, you know, Fair Trade, for example, or, you know, the Co-op do a lot of Braille. And then we can emboss. Or emboss where it stands out.
Yeah,
we're pushing through the material to create a structure.
Okay, because I thought that Braille was done through embossing.
Braille is a screen print.
Yep.
And embossing is actually we're altering the structure of the material.
Okay.
And we can incorporate all of those technologies in one pass. So you can have it on every single label. You can have hot foil, screen, and emboss. If you
mentioned earlier about, you know, wineries with a 30,000 bottle tanker or whatever. Does the wine go to the bottling, or does the bottling and labeling go to the wine?
Well, it both is the answer. If you're processing larger volumes, they may come in bulk, for example, or be sent to a processor where the glass is made, for example, and it's filled on site, sent back down, either labeled or unlabeled, or the glass will be sent in and we'll send the labels into the owners of the vineyards, and they can bottle on site on request whenever they need to, and they've got that flexibility.
And do they need special machines to apply the labels?
They will need it. You could, with self-adhesive, you could hand apply if you wanted to. But, you know, it's quite a slow process to do that, you know, and you've got to make sure they're all line up on shelf, all the labels are exactly the same. Or we offer a small labeling machine where you can put a bottle of wine on, it's gravity fed, and it will put one front label on and one back label.
Okay.
You know, and that's sort of a £3,000, for example, that, and you can be labeling on site whenever you need to.
So we've talked about labels with glue. We've talked about these self-adhesive labels.
That's right.
And I was talking to you earlier, and you're talking about these clear labels, or...
Yeah, clear on clear.
What is that?
That's a no-look label. It's called a no-look label. So it looks like, because the label material is completely clear, and when you've applied it onto the glass, eventually it's very hard to detect the label. So it looks like you're directly screen printing or printing onto the bottle. So you'll find a lot of beers are produced like this, like Sol, for example, Heineken, all have adopted this type of technology. Blossom Hill has a no-look label as well. So it's not used widely at the moment, but there is a real design option. Of course, you can do any kind of design you want. You're not limited to the shape of the label.
Okay, so the label, you could have any sort of shapes, really, can't you?
You could have a rectangular label, but the design could be completely free-flowing, because, of course, it is a no-look label. It's very hard to see on the bottle.
And what sort of limitations? Is that sort of label suitable for small producers? Or
it's more difficult. The application is more difficult. The equipment level needs to generally be a little bit higher for a no-look label, but it is possible.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So no-look label's quite good. Anybody can do it, but it's a wee more...
It's a bit more technical, so there are, you know, more hoops you have to jump through to process that efficiently.
And what's the difference between that and... you showed me a bottle earlier that was called... You said it was a clear liner. What's that?
Clear liner is the backing material, really. So the self-adhesive label material is the actual label that's stuck onto the bottle. And then a clear liner normally is either a paper liner, which is generally for slower processing speeds, or a clear liner, which is for very high-speed application. So some of the big brands that would be bringing New World wines in, and they'll be bottling 300,000 or 400,000 bottles at a time for promotions for the supermarket. There is an efficiency advantage to go on a clear liner. And also for a recycling point as well, there's an environmental benefit as well.
Why? What's the advantage?
Well, the backing material can be collected and recycled, whereas the glassine, the paper liner, has a silicon on it. It's very hard to separate the two, so it's generally a landfill product. Whereas a clear liner can actually be reprocessed and potentially recycled.
So what is a clear liner? I'm not quite sure exactly what a clear liner looks like.
It literally is clear.
But so, how does that differ from the clear one that you can have all the fancy...
Well, once it's on the bottle, there is no need for the liner. So it's just an aid for the process of the application of the label.
Oh, the liner's on the stuff on the back, isn't it?
The liner's on the stuff on the back, yeah, absolutely.
That's right. No, I'm with you now. So it's almost like when you've got name tags or something, you peel them off.
That's absolutely...
And that's absolutely for what that labeling is called...
That's no look labelling.
No look labelling. And clear liner is there's no lining on the back that you peel off.
Well, there is still liner on the back. So you've got the glassine liner. So if you take the face material, which is what the end user will see, of course, because there is no need for the liner. And that normally is on a glassine, a paper-based liner. But if you had to go for a no-look label, it would have to be a clear liner. Because part of the process of it being no-look is under a microscope, if you had the clear, the glassine liner, it creates like waves in the adhesive. So you imagine when the tide goes out on the beach at the seaside and you can see the sort of ripples in the sand.
Yeah.
Very much like the adhesive is under a microscope. So it's because it has a natural weave in the actual paper liner. But if you have a clear liner, it is mirror smooth. It's because it's a plastic product. So it means the adhesive is super smooth and you can't see the ripples in it, which gives it the no look. The benefit on the clear liner is there are two benefits. If you want to go for a no look label, you have to have a clear liner, what we call a plastic liner, which gives the adhesive super smooth properties. So when it gets applied onto the glass, it makes the whole product completely translucent, so you can't detect where, in theory, you can't detect.
And when you're talking about the liner, you're talking about the thing
carrier.
That
it's the carrier of the material. So that when we talk about self-adhesive labels, you have three elements. You have the face material, which is what's stuck to the product, the adhesive, which of course is stuck to the face, and the liner, what we call the liner, which carries the label on the machine through to where the application
and you
point,
peel it off from that,
and then the liner is discarded.
Yeah, and a clear liner.
And a clear liner services that exact same.
Carries the label.
Carries the label. If you want a no look label, the clear liner enables the front label and the adhesive to be very smooth. So when it's applied onto the face of the bottle, you can't see the ripples in it, which actually effectively are air pockets. If you had it on a glassine, you would be able to see the label much more visually.
Yeah, I'm with
whereas
you.
The backing is clear, is super smooth, so it's mirror smooth, so the adhesive lays mirror smooth, and then you sandwich it together, and the whole product is then translucent.
Okay.
The benefit also to clear liner is that it has a potential to be recycled as well. So
what, the backing?
The backing does. It's also a thinner material because the tensile strength is stronger than a glassine. So that you actually get more yield, more labels per roll. So it's more efficient to produce as well. So there is a manufacturing benefit to it.
And how do I tell a clear liner from a no-look label, just a normal no-look label?
If from a prospective consumer, you wouldn't be able to tell how it's been delivered because, of course, the liner is thrown away at the point when it's on shelf.
Yep.
So visually, for the end user, you wouldn't really be able to tell. But there are certain designs that really benefit from it. So if you ever see a clear label, completely clear, it's always been delivered generally on a clear liner.
Okay, and clear liners are really only suitable for large volume?
Generally a larger volume because the processing speed is faster. Because being a paper backing, it works under a lot of strain. When they're running through the machines, they have a long web path to the point of what we call the beak that applies the label on. That's the point of contact onto the bottle.
Yep.
And the clear liners are a lot stronger, so there is less risk of the web breaking. So they're generally preferred for an efficiency point of view because they're a faster application. You get slightly more labels on a roll, and you can build the speeds up for the label machines faster than you can do with a paper-based product.
Okay, so if I see a label that's clear, would I expect it to be a clear liner? Yeah,
possibly.
Then?
I mean, a good example would be a vodka label. Lots of vodkas, Beefeater gin, for example, is a clear label. So when you visualize that on the product, you've got the sort of Beefeater guy there, you know, and the logo at the top and bottom, but you can't see the label very well. It looks like it's directly being printed to the product.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And that's a no-look label is what we would call it.
Sometimes labels, bottles have like a label around the top, near the top as well.
Yeah, like a cigar band of some sort.
Is that what it's called?
It runs around the top.
Yeah, how hard is that to apply? Is that easy or is that costly? Or
generally speaking, it's if you're processing bigger volumes, it's easier to apply because the technology you've got to apply is normally fairly highly sophisticated. And you would need three labeling heads there. So you'd need one for a front label, one for a back label, and one for a neck label potentially. So there's a higher cost to that machinery.
Is that machinery portable, or again, is it best to bring the wines to the bottling plant?
to some degree, they're portable. You can take machines out and put more labeling heads on, but there is big equipment, big hefty equipment. So generally speaking, it's better to leave it in fixed position.
And what does a labeling machine cost?
It can range from anywhere from sort of the smaller the entry level machines can be. You can buy one between 10 and 20,000, for example, right up to the most efficient machines, maybe in a region of sort of £800,000. Significant
amount. Oh, okay. They're quite pricey, aren't they? And who produces them? I bet the Germans make these.
Germans make those, yeah, absolutely. Germans and the Italians.
Oh, the Italians as well.
The Italians are very heavily involved in labeling equipment.
What do you find when you look at a wine rack or, you know, a list of wines in a shop, whatever, and you're looking at all these different wines and the labelings? What attracts your attention when you're looking at wine labels?
Well, as I describe myself as a label geek, I'm obviously looking at the labels quite often. The label is obviously something that tells a story to me. I'm slightly biased, so I'd be buying it potentially on the quality of the label as well, and maybe trying a brand that I haven't used before. But I'm normally buying in the, you know, between £5 and £7 price mark. And there's normally quite a lot of variety of choice at that stage in terms of labeling perspective.
If I'm doing a run of, say, 20,000 labels, what's the cheapest I can expect a label to cost unattached to the bottle? And what's the most I can expect to pay? You know, what's the range in prices?
Range in prices solely depends on the size of label, the amount of colours using, the type of material we're specifying, whether we print, you know, a Sauvignon Blanc and a Rioja, for example, or whether it's just a generic label, right through to going for a real uncoated heavy grade material, quite thick. So when you pick the bottle up, it's quite chunky on the bottle with a bit of hot foiling and screen. That can, you know, be four times the price, for example.
Yeah, but four times of what price?
That's very dependent. It could be, for example, a front label for 20,000 could be 3.5p on a very cheap one, through to sort of 8p for a very expensive
really?
One.
Really? And that includes applying or not applying?
No, that would be down to the end user to apply that product.
Okay, and what does it cost to apply a label?
Couldn't answer you that, unfortunately, because that's not my remit, really.
Yeah. No, that's fine. So 3.5 to 8p, that's quite expensive, the labels, aren't they? They're not cheap.
It is, absolutely. But if you imagined your full shelf of wine down a retailer's aisle and it had no labels on it, what's the distinguishing point of that bottle? You've either got a very distinctive bottle or it's the label telling you the story. So the label is your front of house. It's your shop. It's your advert. So it's absolutely key to deliver that best message and get that first-time buyer to pick that bottle up, and maybe they show their friends and they're all enjoying it together, and then you've bought into that story. So it's really key that you deliver that message, whether it's a value point and you're buying it on price, or whether you're selling at a higher point or establishing your brand, you're telling that story.
And I presume a similar cost for the back label as well.
Back labels are generally cheaper because you're not selling from the back label.
So you may not have all the
hot foil. Yeah, you would generally go for a more basic back label. You might change and have a front label that had an all singing, all dancing material. You might have a back label which is very plain, and a front label which is all singing, all dancing material, hot foil and screen, and you're happy to pay more on that front label, and the back label is very much a price point that it needs to meet. So,
and that's more than 3.5p.
Yeah, so it might be less than that, for example. It might be 1.5p.
Oh, okay, really?
Yeah, so you've got maybe one or two colours, you go for a standard size of cutter, and you're just processing based on cost.
Okay, excellent. All right then, Nick, I think we'll wrap it up there. Thank you very much.
Thank you.